from this evening to the latter part, the last part of the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. So Lord, may be our helper. We want this evening to consider verses 20 through 23. And if it is the Lord's will, we will conclude the prayer next Wednesday evening. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, these are some most remarkable words. And one has to admit that we need especially the Holy Spirit to interpret the words aright. For some of these things are hard to be understood. Exactly what the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this prayer. But in verse 20, the Lord turns, as it were, his attention from his immediate followers, the apostles and disciples of his day, to a future generation. What a mercy it is that we, in this our day, 2,000 years from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, can enter into this prayer, because the Lord Jesus Christ has not forsaken his people, whom he knew from all eternity would turn unto him by God-given faith and believe on his name. Neither pray I for these alone, but for the whole Israel of God, to the Jew and to the Gentile. From that day to the end of time. Now we need to remember the time, place and occasion when this prayer was made. Christ's ministry was coming to its end. In fact, really, with this prayer, we have the conclusion of his ministry. Soon he was to finish the work that the Father gave him to do. And he speaks in this prayer as though that work were already accomplished, knowing that in himself this would be done. For the Lord Jesus Christ knew all that lay before him and was prepared from eternity past to undertake this great mission whereby he may be crucified upon the cruel cross, there to redeem his people from their sins, to set them free and at liberty. than it is for all his people, the whole family of God, all those chosen in Christ before the world began, those who were the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Not a foreknowledge that some might turn themselves to God, that some might have a religion which they think suitable for God, but with this divine certainty, the foundation of God. What a greater foundation can we get than that? Stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Not that he will know them, but he knoweth them. He knoweth them now. Those that are here upon this earth at this present time, and perhaps if the world continues, those that will be born, who will come to a knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. And so it was as he prepares himself for that ultimate sacrifice of himself for his people, that he remembers especially the whole election of grace, the children of God to the end of time. Then we can say, if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that here the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for me. We are as much part of this prayer as the apostles of old and the martyrs and the reformers and the faithful brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Here is a divine certainty then, that the Lord, knowing them that are his, he knows that there is an appointed time. As we sang this evening, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and set the feet to Zion's hill. But will believe on me. It is then essential that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do we come to that faith? Now, God has put a wonderful order in his holy word. He has designated ways by which people shall come to God. And that is why I read to you this evening from the 10th chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. For it is very clear what he says there. In verse 8 he says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. The preacher doesn't preach his own words. He preaches the word of God. The word that he has come to believe in and to trust in, and to put all his confidence in. It is upon the word of God that we stand or fall. It is upon this word that the devil attacks us. And the enemies of the Church of Christ go against us. Nevertheless, the Lord has called us and equipped us and presented us with the gospel of his grace. We might be the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message to the people. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now look at the prayer again. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through their word. As the Lord Jesus Christ prepares for glory, so he prepares his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he raises up his servant, and on the day of Pentecost they are equipped to go out and to boldly preach Christ. And of course the apostles had a special part in this. We don't claim to be apostles today. Those that saw the Lord Jesus Christ and walked with him. Though the apostles were given divine powers which the church doesn't have and doesn't need today. It was with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit performing miracles. And was it not a miracle in many times when the apostle Paul stood against the enemies of the truth and suffered many things at man's hands? Truly, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. But the apostles preached during their day and then entered into their rest. Should the Church of Christ come to nothing then? No, the same Holy Spirit was raised up and does raise up faithful men to go and preach the gospel unto others. Sinners saved by grace and called by the Holy Spirit to this very important work of preaching the gospel of Christ. Now again, it seems to me that this verse emphasizes that it is through the Word of God that salvation comes. Let me hasten to say that there is no power in the minister. The power is in the Word. And where the Holy Spirit is pleased to use and apply that Word to the hearts of men and women. So it is the Word of God, the Word of faith, as the Apostle says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? By birth and by nature we're all unbelievers. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Is that not a reasonable question to put forth? Those that haven't heard of the Lord Jesus Christ are not accountable to believe in him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? But God has given to the true church true preachers. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings to good men. So Paul sums it up. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How exceedingly simple, how wonderfully sublime. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe we can faithfully say this, that God never, ever works outside of His own Word. Then if the Lord has raised up preachers to preach the gospel, the men and women come to hear that gospel preached, what is lacking? It is faith to believe the word that is spoken. Many are looking for great things, looking for divine revelations, looking for events which perhaps some historically have had and spoken of. But are we right in seeking after those things? The Lord here says nothing, and the Apostle Paul confirms it to us. He says nothing outside of believing the word that is spoken. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have ears to hear? Has the Lord given us hearing ears and believing hearts? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Do we believe that He has entered into glory? Do we believe that He will come again the second time? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Lord prays for those that shall believe on Him through the Word of God. Those that believe that man is in a savable state, and that any can at any time, if they so desire, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, say effectively, the Lord Jesus Christ prays for something that the Father denies Him. Because not one outside of the election of grace shall ever be saved. The Lord Jesus here prays exclusively for His people. He prays for those who shall believe. So we have to ask ourselves a very simple question. Do we believe? Our whole salvation depends upon it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is a simple trusting in the Word of God, laying hold upon the truth, and it will be consistent in our lives by our walk and conversation, that we show ourselves identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, again through faith, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I believe there are two important things here. If we take the first phrase, that they all may be one. There are no denominations in heaven. It is the devil's great art to bring division in the churches so that peoples separate and start up another church with slightly different beliefs, and the one speaking against the other, contention. That they all may be one. This is the Lord Jesus' prayer for the church. How sad it is today that there are so many divisions. If you read American church history, you will see that those divisions started right from the beginning. How is it that this country has so many different so-called Christian religions? Different sects. Different denominations. It is because one has fallen out with another. Or one has seen things in a slightly different way. And therefore, they started up anew. And gradually the division widens between the churches. And the devil achieves a great aim, that is to bring contention, division, discontent into the churches, that the church does not speak with one voice. How wonderful it would be in the days in which we live, in this evil day, that the church, that is, all churches that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will come together as one and speak as a body. What a powerful body that would be. What government could stand against them? And I believe that that was the success of this nation from the beginning, that there were churches that believed the truth. There were differences we admit, but for the most part, even different denominations could come together on most things. You would have Presbyterians preaching in Baptist churches and Baptist church ministers preaching in Anglican churches. But that division has widened so much today. That there is such a contention between the churches that they are not one. But I believe we can say this. From among different denominations, there are people that can be of one heart and of one mind and of one spirit. And when we meet those, we can walk together. There may be some differences, but those differences are not contended. We stand by the truth. We stand by the Word of God. We stand by the interpretation of the Holy Spirit alone. We believe what God has written, that they all may be one. When it comes to the great day, all the elect shall be brought together, and there will be a perfect harmony between all of them. They may have contended on earth, but they'll be brought together with one accord of one mind, and their whole subject will be the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of his name. Then the Lord Jesus Christ goes on, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Here is the Lord's desire, that they may be one with the Father and with the Son. When you really consider what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, we can only believe that this will be fully performed in glory hereafter. For there is no perfection among men. But again, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking beyond the present day. He's looking to that future glory which shall be his. And that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit And the people of God will be of one heart, of one mind. Ye are all one, says the apostle, in Christ Jesus. That's where our oneness dwells. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ is in the Father and the Father is in the Son, so the true believer is found through the new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ in you, again the apostle says, the hope of glory. Or a glorious hope that the Lord gives us. That when our days are finished here below, that oneness will be complete. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now here is a difficulty. When is it that the world believes that the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world with that mission of salvation for his people? Well, if we look back through history, there never was a period when the world believed that. And I don't believe there will be while this world exists. So again, I can only believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is here thinking of the day of judgment, when the church of Christ shall be complete in one and presented faultless before the Father's throne in glory. That the world will look on, that it will then believe that Christ was sent to redeem his people. But solemnly their faith will be too late to change their destiny, too late to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, that cry that will go up from the pit of hell will be a lamentable cry. Too late. Too late. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What glory is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking of? Well, it's not his eternal glory. Not the glory that he had in the bosom of the Father. Neither can it be that glory that he laid aside when he came into this earth as a servant, or in the form of a servant. John said we beheld his glory. And doubtless he is referring there to the Mount of Transfiguration. And perhaps that gives us our clue as to the interpretation of this verse. The Lord is again looking at that glory. We read, he who for the joy that was set before him endure the cross. And so at this time, the cross before him, yet he was looking beyond the cross to the glory that should be his as the man, Christ Jesus. I believe it's to that glory that the Lord Jesus here refers. And the glory which thou gavest me. The Father, in this sense, did not give Christ his eternal glory. That is a divine mystery which man cannot really enter into. And so again, I believe this emphasizes the glory that Christ was given upon this earth. Flashes, as it were, that were seen during his ministry here below, perhaps in those miracles, especially of raising the dead to life. The glory of the Father shone in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the glory of the cross. We think of the cross as a cross of shame. And indeed, in many ways, it was. But it was also the cross of glory. There, the Lord Jesus Christ triumphed over sin and death and hell. Triumphed over the devil. Put the devil to flight. Yes, it was a glorious death. And a glorious resurrection from the dead. When he manifested himself unto his disciples and was seen by above 500 people at once. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it not that glory that hid him, as it were, on the road to Emmaus? Was it not that glory whereby the disciples in the boat saw Jesus on the seashore, and then John was given that revelation of Christ? But it is the glory of Emmanuel, God with us. And the glory of the God-man shall be an eternal glory. And we shall, if we are his saints, delight in that glory through a never-ending eternity. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. I have given them that same glory. And again, this is reserved for the saints of God in heaven. They shall be dressed in a glorious dress, the dress of Christ's righteousness. They shall dwell resplendent with the Father and with the Son. And their glory shall be everlasting. It shall know no end. This is the glory of the Holy Spirit. It is a glory that begins where the Holy Spirit begins with us. And so we are partakers of his glory. That they may be one even as we are one. When we think of heaven, we think of perfection. No sin, no shame, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. But God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. To be one then. Forever with the Lord. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, what sublime words are spoken here. A oneness in relationship with God. When Adam by transgression fell, a division was made. Man had to be cast out, separate from God. Remember how that Adam in his primeval state walked with God. There was a union between Adam and his creator. But Adam fell. And this was his weakness, his sin, his unbelief. He fell. And the whole creation fell with him. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to restore, and more than restore, because once the Lord makes man perfect, he shall never fall again. Isn't this a glorious prospect? To think that once that glory is achieved, as it were, we shall never lose it. As Paul at the end of Romans says, who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can separate us from it? Nothing can. And nothing can separate us from the glory that is ours. Now that glory is ours now. But we shall not come into that glory as a child does not come into its inheritance until it's of age. So we shall not come into our glory until that appointed time that the Lord has already made. I in them and thou in me. We cannot begin to understand the relationship of the Father with the Son. A divine, perfect relationship. We can only wonder at it. But then, that they may be made perfect in one. And again, he reaffirms what he said before, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How can poor mortal flesh begin to open up such words as these? Who is sufficient for these things? Christ, as we said before, was in the bosom of the Father, loved from all eternity to all eternity, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How does the Father love us? In the same way that he loves his Son. The only answer we can give is in the Son. As we are made one in Christ Jesus, so the love of the Father through the Son is disposed towards us. Was it not the Father's choice? In eternity past, whereby he chose out a people for his eternal praise. Was it not the Father, as a love gift to the Son, donated the elect? Was it not the Son, who, with the love of the Father in his heart, also loved his people? And has loved them, and will love them to all eternity. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. Well, we have the beginnings, I believe, of these things here below. That those that walk in union and communion with the Lord, those who show unto the world whose they are and whom they serve, and are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world, although they will not admit it, and solemnly deny it, yet the world knows that the Father sent the Son to gather in his church, to save his elect, to call forth his own. And their hatred is toward them. They are incensed. These have been saved and they have been lost. And yet they have no love to the Lord Jesus Christ and no desire to the honour of his name. and they are miles apart from God's people. And that division will be made all the greater on the day of judgment, when one is gathered in and the other is eternally cast out. Then let us return to what Paul says in that 10th chapter of the Romans, because it's vitally important that we understand it. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. The word of God has gone to the ends of the world. Did not Israel know? The Lord says, but to Israel, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. There's your division. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But God says to the non-elect, but all day long he has stretched forth his hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Or may we be found on the right side of the divide. May we believe the word of God and rest upon it, that we might be saved at last. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.